this Sunday we continue with Mark's fast-paced rendition of the life of Jesus. He's come down from the mountaintop, back from the wilderness experience, and is making his way to Jerusalem, where he knows that he will have a head-on clash with those in power. And that this clash will be so intense and so severe that the end result will be his death. He tells his disciples, his followers, that he will be killed and that in 3 days he will rise again. Peter reacts strongly to Jesus' warning of what is to come. He takes Jesus aside and rebukes him. Mark doesn't share with us what Peter's rebuke entails. But given the knowledge that Peter has just affirmed Jesus as the Messiah, the long-expected Redeemer of Israel, we might assume that the rebuke has something to do with Jesus behaving not in ways a Messiah should behave, saying things that are misleading or even untrue. Imagine Peter accusing Jesus of lying. We don't know what Peter had to say to Jesus, but we know that it was not positive. It was a rebuke. Perhaps Peter was trying to straighten out Jesus' theology of life after death. Jesus had just announced that he would rise up after 3 days, and that was not in keeping with the Pharisaic understanding of a general resurrection of the all in Messianic days, nor was it in keeping with the Sadducees' belief that there would be no resurrection. There was no place in thinking of good Jewish people for an individual to be raised from the dead. And Jesus had just said that that was exactly what was going to happen, that he would rise again after 3 days. For us, that statement can challenge our beliefs as well. Just how much did Jesus foreknow? Was he in his full divinity omnipotent? If he knew he would rise again after 3 days, does that change his experience of humanity? If you want cut and dried, black and white answers, this is not the place to be. We can't pin down what was in Jesus' mind any more than we can pin down the mind of God, try though we may. Peter's rebuke of Jesus was cut short. Jesus looked around to his disciples and rebuked Peter publicly. He said, "Get behind me, Satan!" Because of these words, many have thought that Peter's rebuke of Jesus modeled in some way the temptations offered by Satan in the wilderness. Jesus continues to tell Peter and all those who are now listening attentively, "You're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He then calls the crowd closer in and says, "If any want to become my followers, let them take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their lives will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." With a challenge like that, it is surprising that anyone would step up and say, "Oh yes, I want to be your follower. I've always had a martyr complex. Love the idea of carrying my cross. Pile on those burdens, Christ. There are none too big for me to bear." The unfortunate part is that in history, there are those who have understood Christ's words to take up your cross and to lose your life just that literally. At one point, there were even those who sought out martyrdom, actually looked to be killed for the gospel, believing that literally losing one's life was the only way to assure their salvation. There have been others who've been heroic and brave and strong and have literally lost their lives for the sake of the gospel and are great witnesses to the love of Christ. Literally losing one's life, though, is not exactly what Christ is saying, any more than he's saying, pick up a cross made of two timbers and carry it with you as you go through your day-to-day life. Over and over, Christ challenges us to broaden our thinking, stretch our minds, focus on divine things, not human things. Jesus challenges us to be open to a totally different world, one that is divinely ordered, not ordered as we would have it. Jesus challenges us not to care how things have always been done. As a matter of fact, he says, to date, they've always been done wrong. Jesus challenges us not only to think out of the box, but to get rid of the box entirely and base our whole lives on love, on giving away instead of accumulating. Jesus set Peter straight when he tried to correct Jesus' thinking. Peter began to rebuke Jesus to counter what Jesus was saying. What Jesus was saying was not in keeping with what Peter thought Jesus ought to be saying. Something in those two predictions that Jesus made did not set well with Peter. It didn't fit into his experience of how things had always been done or how they should be done, and Peter quickly acted to set Jesus straight. He took Jesus aside and began to do just that, or to try to do just that, to set Jesus straight, to remind him of how things are done around here, and how they've always been done around here, the proper and acceptable way of doing things. Jesus didn't even let Peter continue. He said, "You have your mind on human things, not on divine. You're limiting the possibilities with that sort of thinking. Peter, you are holding on so tightly to the way things are done and have been done that you are limiting the work of God. With God, you will lose your life. Your life will take on a whole new look. It will no longer look like the life you had before. It will be shiny and new and totally different. There will be challenges in this new life. The world will want to continue to stay the way it is, not to move forward. There will be people who are entirely against you. When you pick up that cross and follow me, life will never be the same as it was before." The words of Jesus are true. I've seen it happen, not only in my own life, but in the lives of folks I've known over the years, some of them here at Grace Church, but one in particular comes to my mind. Several years ago, I was asked to visit the room of a parishioner whose husband was in a nursing facility with a debilitating and terminal illness. He could barely speak, and his body was contorted in a strange position, but he was cognizant and able to communicate mostly through his family members. The parishioner had told me of her daughter who had left the church angrily several years before. One afternoon, I went to visit, and I walked in the room and was met not only by my parishioner, but also by the angry daughter and her partner, who I had been told was Jewish. I drew in a deep breath, expecting to be met with challenge and hostility, but was determined to be open and not allow myself to become flustered, no matter what. The daughter was pleasant, but cool, and I did my best to remain open and welcoming, hoping to be a positive representative of the church she so deeply mistrusted. Several weeks later, I saw this daughter in church. I tried to remain cool, not to have too many expectations. I likened this to taming a feral cat, which I had done successfully two times in the past. Slowly, quietly, let her take the lead, let her make the first move, then encourage, affirm, and assure. Little did I know that in the time between my meeting her in the nursing facility and her appearance at church that Sunday morning, God had hit her on the head and told her to show up. That itself is not all that unusual. The fact that she was listening, paying attention, and acted on it is. That first day, that first move, that first day of showing up was the beginning of a total life change for this woman. She knows what it means to lose your life for the sake of the gospel. She lost a lot of her friends because of her recommitment to her faith. She's been viewed with great skepticism, both by Christians and non-Christians. Many of her tightly built beliefs have been challenged, and some she has had to throw away. She now goes into places that are very wary of Christians and lets everyone know that she is a follower of Christ. She doesn't shirk that. It is part of her very being. And as such, it's often the cross that she has to bear. Jesus said, "If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it." Do you want to follow Jesus? Are you ready to let go, to enter into a new life, a life that is entirely different, that is full of possibilities? That's not the way it's always been done. Jesus said, "Follow me." Amen.